More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, finding faith. Are you facing faith struggles or doubts? Having a hard time connecting with God's grace? Or maybe faith is causing conflict in your relationships? Let us help. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, finding faith. You know, faith struggles are never fun, but especially in this season, it can be particularly challenging. You know, being a person of faith is hard. Sometimes our attempts to live our faith cause conflict in our relationships. Sometimes we feel frustrated because faith and our desires clash. Other times we struggle to feel God's presence or hear His voice. And still other times we can feel betrayed or let down by God. During the holiday season, faith struggles can be particularly painful. But whatever spiritual challenges you're facing, let us help preserve you in the power of faith at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think you're absolutely right that during this time of the year, if we're struggling with anything, it feels a little like having salt thrown in our wounds. I remember years and years ago when we miscarried a baby right before Christmas, and I was in the ER. And the nurse who was attending me said, "Now, you just stop that right now. Don't you know it's Christmas? No one wants to be sad." Like I somehow had control over like this horrible grieving situation that I was in. And a lot of that kind of stinging, painful stuff can happen in our hearts and minds when all the Christmas carols are playing, all the lights are shining, everyone's trying, including us, to feel peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And yet, we're struggling. We're asking the whys of God. Or people are coming at us because of something about our faith during the season. We're arguing. We actually had a conversation on Home yesterday that one of our, on the Catholic HOM app, that one of our members was saying, you know, my husband wants to celebrate Advent one way. I want to celebrate it the other way. I feel like I have to defer to him because he's my husband, but it always ends up causing some kind of strife. It can be with other people of faith where we just don't feel like we agree completely about our faith, about how we live it out, about how we bring it into our family life. All of these concerns, whether they're in our own hearts and lives or they're coming out in our relationships because people are giving us a hard time about being people of faith. Being a person of faith adds an extra layer in our lives. It adds an extra layer of joy. It adds an extra layer of hope, good and sure and certain hope. But it can also add an extra layer of complication. Because our everyday is not the same as everyone else's everyday, because God is fully present in our lives all the time, and we know it, and we're trying to get closer to Him, even through the craziness of everyday life. If you're saying, "I don't know what to do about this," whatever that is in your life, we're here to help you today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 573 7825.
Again, the show is titled Finding Faith, as we talk about faith struggles today on More to Life. And sometimes, whether those struggles are, you know, external, in the sense that it's causing conflict between you and the people that you care about in some way, or more internal, in the sense that you're struggling to feel God's presence, to hear His voice, to receive His grace or forgiveness, or even, you know, you just feel betrayed or let down by God in some way. And we, you know, we feel guilty about that. But the reality is we've all felt that way at some point or another. That's part of the faith walk, and we want to help you find ways to respond to those spiritual challenges.
Perhaps that's one of the reasons you're listening to Catholic Radio today, because you're thinking, I don't know what God wants from me in fill-in-the-blank situation, or I don't know where God is in this situation, or I don't know what to say to this person who's giving me grief about being a person of faith in a situation that we share. And I'm hoping that, you know, God's going to give me the words by what I listen to on my Catholic radio station today. If that sounds like maybe God is trying to answer those prayers and questions for you by having you tune in today to More to Life, well, then by all means, you are welcome here at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul gave a series of reflections that revealed how we can see the Gospels, the sacraments, really all of Catholic teaching and salvation history, in a way that shows God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships.
The Theology of the Body reminds us that faith and life aren't meant to be separate. Being a disciple of Christ means giving every part of our lives to Christ, including our work, relationships, and even our bodies, so that God can teach every part of us to love others as He would have us love them. The fact is, living out our faith can sometimes make things seem more difficult because bringing our lives and relationships in line with God's will can be hard work.
But doing that work often leads to internal or external conflict, as I was saying. You know, it can be frustrating when we have a hard time making our faith and life fit together, or when we can't feel God's presence or figure out His will, or when other people reject our faith or treat us poorly because of our beliefs. In the face of all that, you know, we can experience all sorts of doubts and struggles. But those doubts and struggles aren't a sign of weak faith. They're not a reason to feel guilty. They're an invitation to deeper faith. As long as we keep bringing those doubts and struggles and confusions and frustrations to God, instead of letting them lead us away from Him, the more God will use those struggles to draw us into closer union with His love and His will. And if you're not sure how to make that happen in your life today, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions here on More to Life. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into Your presence, and we bring to You all those situations that are causing us to struggle in our faith. Whether those are personal failings, conflicts that faith and our beliefs are bringing up in our relationships, our struggle to feel Your presence or hear Your voice or know Your will, or just that sense of dissatisfaction that comes from doing all the things, but not really getting the benefit or the connection that comes from the faith that we want. We ask You, Lord, to fill in those spaces, to bring the healing grace to water those dry parts of our soul, and to help us to find You again in our pain, in our struggles, in our sadness, in our frustration. Help us to find faith again and hold tight to You, even in those times when it's hardest to do so. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Finding Faith, as we talk about those faith struggles and doubts and conflicts that faith can cause between us and the people we care about. you know, being a person of faith can be really challenging. And sometimes our attempts to live out our faith can cause conflict in our marriage, in our family life, with our kids. Sometimes we feel frustrated because our faith and our desires will clash, and we want to be faithful. We also feel that we need whatever to be satisfied and happy, and we don't know how to put those two things together. Other times we struggle to feel God's presence, know His will, or hear His voice. And other times we can even feel betrayed or let down by God when we are going through an unexpected bad time. Well, during this season, faith struggles can be particularly painful, so let us walk with you. Whatever spiritual challenges you're facing, we want to help you persevere in the power of faith. At 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we got a message from Sue after we put the topic up on social media yesterday. And she says, I am by nature a very receptive person, both to other people and God's grace. I can often feel what God's asking me to do, and I certainly want to serve Him. But I find that being receptive to people and helping others can leave me feeling very tapped out and very stressed, almost as though I've run a mental or physical marathon. Is there any way I can be receptive to people without feeling shaken and depleted?
Yeah, absolutely. And Sue, thank you so much for the question. You know, one of the things that the theology of the body really reminds us of is that we are embodied beings. And, you know, that seems obvious because, you know, you can't get away from your body. It's always wherever you go, there it is. You
but
know?
We take it for granted because wherever we go, there it is. So, and as Westerners, we kind of are taught to completely ignore it.
Yeah, and so the theology of the body reminds us that God did not create us to be spirits. We're not angels. We're mortals. And what that means is that we as mortals have limitations on us that spiritual beings don't have. And so we can find ourselves, you know, having the best of intentions and wanting to give and give and give and give. And certainly our Catholic faith tells us that we should give generously to others. But it doesn't mean that we don't have the right or even the responsibility to take care of ourselves. You know, even if you were to think of yourself as a tool in God's hands, you know, a good carpenter takes care of his tools. He doesn't just wear the tool out. He sharpens the blade every time he uses it.
He oils the, you know, the tools.
You know, that he takes good care of those tools. And so, you know, we have to remember that as we serve others, to be mindful of our own resources being depleted. Even Jesus, right, would regularly withdraw from the crowd, would regularly go into the desert to take time with his Father, would go out on the boat just to be alone and reflect and recharge his batteries. You know, the Word of God who became flesh recognized the limitations of the flesh and took care of those needs so that he could give all of himself to others.
Well, and I think that's a very important point because we often look only at the cross in Jesus's giving, right? We look at the fact that when we look at a cross that represents what he really went through, we see him battered and torn and bleeding and broken, and we think, that's what I should do. He did that at a particular time, but throughout his ministry, there were times where he made sure he was eating well and that he was feeding his disciples well, that he would have those times to be set apart to really connect in prayer and to just have the quiet of not serving others all the time. And we have to look at that whole experience to see what it is we should be doing. And of course, if God calls us to a particular time or experience in our lives where he's asking us to, you know, give in a way that he gave during the Passion, that's something that, you know, just as the Father sent angels to the Garden of Gethsemane, God will let us know that he's going to walk with us.
He's
in a
asking us to make that extraordinary
way.
Sacrifice.
Extraordinary sacrifice.
In a particular instance,
to put it.
Right?
Yes, that's a perfect way to put it. But on the daily, we do need to remember that he did that, and therefore we see with the eyes of faith that that's what he's reminding us to do as well.
You know, so, you know, kind of our natural human response is to ignore our needs and shut down our feelings. The theology of the body reminds us that God is actually speaking to us through our needs and feelings. Now, we don't often hear his voice as perfectly as we should through those things. And so, you know, we can be indulgent, certainly, if we're not attending to God's voice and really sort of tuning in our antenna to the specific message that he's giving us through our thoughts or our feelings. So I'm not just saying do whatever comes naturally to you. But what I am saying is, you know, listen to those needs and feelings, and then bring them to God and say, what are you saying to me through these needs and feelings? And very often what you're going to find is that, you know, when you feel tired, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, go lie down. You know, mm-hmm. when you're feeling frustrated, that's the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, ask for help.
When you're feeling despairing because the people that you are serving are sort of inundating you with their own locked inness to their sin. I mean, everybody we encounter in the world and serve are sinners. We're sinners. But when somebody is in your face struggling against the grace of God, we have to remember that we then have to fill our tanks with prayer and the sacraments and real time in the presence of the Holy Eucharist,
or even just setting boundaries.
I
mean, you know, so it's,
well, and that will give us the grace to set those boundaries.
So you know, Sue, you have a beautiful and generous heart, but I think that you know, rather than beating up on yourself for having needs, for feeling tired, for feeling depleted, you want to take those feelings to God and say, Lord, help me to hear your voice through these things. What are you telling me to do? How can I take care of myself and attend to these needs that you've given to me in a way that would still allow me to be present to others? Because that's something else we forget. God gave us the needs we have. God gave us the desires that we have. Now, sin has made it difficult to respond to those feelings and desires in ways that are healthy and holy all the time. But when we bring them back to God and say, okay, Lord, this, you know, this need, this desire, this feeling, you gave it to me. Now, I don't know how to respond to it in a way that would glorify you and help me be my best self, but I know that you will teach me. So show me, Lord, what can I do? So instead of just ignoring your needs, instead of just ignoring your desires, instead of just ignoring your feelings and saying, these are just signs of my limitations and, you know, how I'm not a good Christian, bring them to God and assume that they're saying something good and positive, and ask God to teach you how to respond to those thoughts and feelings and needs and desires in a way that does glorify him and does please him, so that you can continue to serve others generously as you have been. Sue, I do hope that these words will encourage you to take better care of yourself so that you can be even more present to others. And if you're struggling to know how to do that, then I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to work with one of our pastoral counselors so that we can help you learn to love yourself the way God does. All right. With that, we have to go to our break, but we're continuing to take your calls about finding faith today on More to Life. Are you facing faith struggles or doubts? Having a hard time connecting with God's grace? Let us help. 877-573-7825. If you're having a hard time hearing God's voice or feeling his presence, if you're feeling betrayed or let down by God because of something that has happened to you, if faith is causing conflict in your relationships with the people that you care about, especially as we are in this Advent season, let's talk it out and find faithful ways to respond to those faith struggles. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with more of your questions coming up right after the break.
The Encounter Conference, December 28th through the 30th at the DeVos Place Convention Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan. 13 powerful speakers. Do you want more?
The truth is, brothers and sisters, there is no solution to the cultural and church crisis but Jesus Christ the Lord, alive in a church that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Period. That's it. He's finding out right now who's with me, who wants to live in the Spirit of God, who wants to follow me. That's what he's doing. It's going to be a work of God for the glory of the Father the Father glorifying the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit through a people who are alive to Him and are proclaiming Him with everything they've got.
Register today at EncounterConference.org. That's EncounterConference.org.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
This Ave Maria Radio program is brought to you by the following nonprofit.
Catholic Charities agencies served more than 15 million people this past year, providing meals for school-aged children and affordable housing for families, seniors, and veterans. To support these and other programs, consider a Catholic Charities USA donor-advised fund. Simplify your philanthropy and leave a legacy that's simple, flexible, and charitable. For more information, visit ccusa.gives/DAF1.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today on More to Life, we're talking about finding faith as we address faith struggles. You know, being a person of faith is challenging, really. And sometimes our attempts to live our faith can cause conflict in our relationships with our spouse, our kids, our extended family. Sometimes we feel frustrated because of internal struggles where our faith and our desires clash. Other times, we just have a hard time hearing God's voice, knowing what He wants from us, feeling His presence, and it can become demoralizing. And then other times, we even feel betrayed or let down by God because of the hard times we're going through and our difficulty finding Him in those hard times. If you're having a hard time with your faith, for whatever reason, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's help you face those spiritual challenges in a graceful and confident manner. 877-573-7825. In this shorter segment, I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, when we start having guilt about our faith struggles. And, you know, we have a saying in the counseling practice, in the pastoral counseling practice, that, you know, feelings are fine, but when you start having feelings about your feelings, that's when you get into trouble.
Right? Well, let's explain to people what that means.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel sad, that's one thing. But if you start beating up on yourself for feeling sad, now you're depressed. You know, if you feel nervous, that's one thing. But if you start, you know, like getting nervous about your nervousness, now you have an anxiety disorder. You know, and the same thing is true with faith struggles. You know, when we're angry with God, or we're sad about something, or we're doubting in our faith, or we're struggling in our faith, that's just part of the journey. But then we start beating ourselves up, right? And as soon as we start feeling guilty, or frustrated or angry with ourselves about feeling frustrated or angry or doubting in our faith, then we start having more spiritual struggles. And so the first thing that we need to do to respond to any faith struggle, whether it's a struggle that's caused by conflict, you know, in our relationships because of our faith, or more of an internal thing, is to just accept that that's where we're at, and to consecrate that. What do I mean by consecrate? I mean bring it to God. Ask God to come into the situation. You know, very often with faith struggles, we feel like we have to leave our problems behind to go find God over there.
Yeah, we are afraid, I think, to disappoint God, make Him angry, look like less than. We often, and I will claim it, we've all done it, and I know I've done it at times too, we treat God as an honored guest. But let's think about that. When we have an honored guest to our home, whether it's, hey, the bishop's coming to dinner, or my mother-in-law's coming for the holidays, what do? We tidy like crazy. We clean everything up. Sometimes we're hiding stuff in the closet because the honored guest is not going to look in the closet. And we have a tendency to treat God that way. I have to be my best self around God. I have to put my best foot forward. And that keeps us from being honest with God.
That's right. It
keeps us from letting him be the best friend who's going to come over and help us clean out our garage, you know, help us to tidy everything up, help us to get well when we're not feeling well. And that's who he should really be, that person that we trust beyond all things with all that vulnerability, not the one we hide things from.
And so rather than hiding those feelings of anger or those doubts or those fears or those conflicts that faith can cause us, we want to consecrate them by bringing them to God and saying, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. I don't want to feel it. I don't like feeling it, but this is where I'm at. And I need you to help me know how to respond to these feelings in a way that will glorify you, help me be my best self, and bring out the best in the people around me. The more we're able to be honest with God about where we're at and what we're feeling and where the conflicts are that are coming from faith and our attempts to live faith out, the more God can use those opportunities to draw us closer to him and help us become stronger in our faith. So don't beat yourself up for these struggles. Don't beat yourself up when you feel doubts, when you are frustrated because of the conflicts that your faith is causing in your life or relationships. Instead of feeling frustrated, consecrate those things to God and ask him to teach you how to respond to those things in a way that will really help you be that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person he created you to be. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about faith struggles today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. If you're having a hard time in your faith or your faith is causing conflicts in your family relationships, especially coming up in the holidays, you know you're going to have those arguments, and you know those discussions are going to come up. Let's talk about it and figure out ways to head those problems off of the past on More to Life today.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child, but I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Those who deny the full humanity of the preborn will be toying with the sentiments of pro-life people. They will say, you can't really believe in the humanity of the unborn unless you support this or that piece of legislation. The pro-life position is quite different. We might well believe that we need to improve social conditions, but first of all, we believe that the preborn are a good to be protected, even if born into poverty, even if born into unstable, violent homes. We want to eliminate those terrible conditions, but it is the height of arrogance to tell human beings like unborn children who cannot communicate or reason or stand up for themselves that they are better off dead, because we know from our own experience that we would choose life and survival over death, no matter how poor our social environment.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, we're talking about finding faith as we talk about faith struggles. Whether you are experiencing conflict in your relationships because of your faith or beliefs, or you're having more of an internal faith struggle rooted in doubts about your faith, struggles to hear what God is saying or feel his presence, or even feeling betrayed or let down by God because of the difficult things you're going through, let us help you find the grace again to stay connected to your faith and to rediscover how God is moving in your life. At 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Stephanie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yeah, so I've been struggling lately. My husband has, unfortunately, an alcohol addiction, and I feel because of it, you know, we're struggling on prioritizing what God wants for us. And it's sucking me dry of our finances as well. And, you know, we've had other financial struggles. He works and provides a good living, but has nothing to show for it right now you know, he should have a lot more to show for it.
Stephanie, is that because he's drinking so much he's actually just burning through his salary, or why is it affecting your finances?
He's burning at least a quarter of his salary on it. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So Stephanie, let me ask you, what it sounds like you've been dealing with this for a while. What have you tried to do about it, and what's brought this to a head now?
Yeah, and the second part of it is my daughter that's 9 years old. She says, "When is Daddy going to stop? We keep praying for him to stop." Mm-hmm. And where's God? Why isn't God answering our prayers?
So let's talk about that. What have you done so far to try to address this problem?
Well, I've you know, brought it to my husband's attention because, you know, he's obviously a functioning alcoholic.
Yeah, you've talked to him about it, and so that's not working. What else have you tried to do?
And I've just prayed about it because he's told me that it's his problem, that he'll take care of it.
It's not just his problem, right? It's your problem, and it's your daughter's problem, too. So what kind of steps, you know, have you tried to take yourself to try to address this?
You know, I haven't done anything other than speaking to him about it, and
okay.
He said that when he's good and ready, he'll...
Well, you're going to have to make him good and ready, because he's not going to do it on his own.
You know, Stephanie, I want to make sure that you're hearing what we're saying in a way that doesn't sound like we're blaming this on you. I want you to think for a moment, if you saw that your husband had some very serious health issue, okay, and, you know, every time he turned around, he was bleeding, or you knew from some experience that, hey, this looks like he has cancer. I don't think many of us as wives would just say, honey, I think you might have a serious illness. And he'd say, well, I don't feel like going to the doctor right now. You might give him a day or two of that. But if you really, you know, were concerned and pretty sure you were right about it, he'd say, sweetie, we're going to the doctor. Get in the car. We're going to the ER. Or worse, came to worse. You'd call an ambulance so they'd make him come. But when it comes to addiction, we often feel like, well, there's nothing we can do at all unless they get on the bandwagon 100%.
Yeah. See, the thing is, the reason that it's so difficult to recover from addictions is because for the addict, the addiction is not a problem. It's the solution. Right? The addict has all kinds of problems. They don't know how to meet their needs. They don't know how to express their feelings. They don't know how to deal with stress. Those are the problems. Their answer is the addiction. When they drink alcohol or take drugs or, you know, do compulsive behaviors, they feel better. And so as far as they're concerned, they found the answer. You're the problem. I mean, again, you're not.
You're not at all.
But that's how your
but
husband
because
feels.
You're taking away his coping mechanism by drawing attention to it and asking him to fix it. It's very, I mean, I don't mean to be diminishing of this because it's so much more serious, but when a child is holding on to like a wet, stinky, horrible blankie, and you know you got to wash that blanket because it's, you know, it's getting really yucky and it's not working for this child, they're going to hold on tighter. They're going to be screaming and yelling, don't take it away, don't take it away. But when we know what's good for them, we figure out how to do that for them.
So the reason I'm giving you this background is because the addict will not give up the addiction unless it becomes a problem for them. And the only way it becomes a problem is that the people around them stop tolerating it. So when I ask you, what are you doing to address it? You know, I want to, spiritually speaking here, and your daughter's question breaks my heart.
Oh, it does.
But it's because you're not distinguishing between wishes and faith. A wish is just something we throw out there. So, gosh, I want him to get better. I wish he'd get better. We just sort of throw out this, you know, this wish to the universe without any kind of real plan for doing anything about it. But faith, all right, faith is not the idea that God is going to do the thing that I want him to do the way I want him to do it. Faith is the understanding that God is at work in this situation. And he wants to teach me how he's working so I can cooperate with that work. So your prayer needs to be, yes, of course, for your husband to recover. But really, even more importantly, it needs to be, Lord, teach us how to respond to my husband's alcoholism. Teach us how to be the godly women you want us to be in the face of this, and how to challenge him to be the man that you are calling him to be, and me to be the wife and mother that I need to be, that provides a safe and loving and sober household for my daughter to be raised in. Give me the courage I need to set the limits with my husband that need to be set, the boundaries that need to be set. Give me the courage to be the prophet that I'm being called to be in this situation, to not just speak the truth, but call him to a healthier life by my actions, and help me find the support I need to do all of that so that I can build a safe and loving and sober home for my daughter. And your daughter needs to see your faith making you a strong, holy, prophetic woman of God, not just being somebody who just sits around waiting for things to happen. That's the difference between wishing and having faith. And I realize that's not what you want to hear. But the good news in what I'm saying is there's something you can do about it other than sit around and wait. God is asking you to do something about it. Pope Francis says, you know, when we pray, that we should pray that the poor would be fed, and then we go out and feed the poor. That's how prayers are answered. And you might say, well, gosh, you know, if it's all up to me, if I have to do all the work, what's the point of praying anyway? Think about it this way. Imagine standing in front of a huge wall, all right, that's just 100 feet tall and 1,000 miles long. Right, and you can't climb over it, and you can't get around it, and you can't go under it. You have to go through it, as the kids, rhyme used to say. Right, and so you're standing there beating your head against this wall and scratching at the bricks until your fingers are turning bloody, and you don't know what to do. But when you pray and you say, Lord, I don't know how to respond to this wall in a way that will help me get through it, in a way that will help me be the person you're calling me to be, and challenge the people around me to be their best as well. God shines the brightest light you can imagine on the other side of that wall. And it exposes the little cracks and the fissures and the weak points in the wall. And as you push on those bricks, the whole wall collapses. And that's the power of prayer. 9 times out of 10, it's not that God takes down that wall. It's that God shines the light on the wall to show us where we can push, how we pull, where we can move, so that, and he does that because he loves us, because he wants us to be strong. He recognizes that our own brokenness and sin has made us weak, and he wants to help us be strong again. And so he works with us to do the work that needs to be done to get the results that he's calling us, that his will calls to. So, Stephanie, yes, by all means, pray for your husband's recovery. But even more importantly, pray that God would teach you how to respond to his alcoholism in a way that would make you that strong woman of God, that would be a powerful model to your daughter of how faithful people respond to difficult challenges. Go to Al-Anon. Yeah. Get professional counseling help for you and her. Learn how to set the appropriate boundaries with your husband that make his alcoholism a problem, and let him know that you are no longer going to tolerate his worship of this idol in your home. Alcoholism has become the god you all worship. You're too afraid to confront it, so you tiptoe around this idol in your home, and he worships it. And so it blocks all the grace, because God is not the center of your home. Alcohol is. And I realize you're not the addict, but you still, it's like you're the acolyte, right, who's afraid to disturb the priest and the Holy of Holies worshiping this pagan god of alcoholism. You need to learn how to stand up to him and how to stand up for what a healthy and holy and sober home looks like.
You don't have to do that alone. Get in touch with Al-Anon today. Search it on your phone the minute you get off with us so you know where to go. Those, the people who have been through this and are part of that group, can help you find the resources in your area, can help you know next steps to take, can come alongside of you in a way that will give you courage and next steps that are very important to take. And if your daughter is old enough, Al-Ateen can be a life-saving
group.
She's nine. As she grows into that, even if your husband starts overcoming that, that is a wonderful group to become a part of for teenagers, because they carry so much of the burden of sorting out their story when they grow up in an alcoholic home.
But that will not be enough on its own. You also need to get professional help for yourself and for your daughter. And ideally, when your husband is ready to join, he can join too. But start on yourself and start with your daughter, because that's what your daughter needs to see, not God, quote-unquote, failing to save her daddy, but God helping her mom stand up and be that holy, godly woman who knows how to create that healthy, safe, sober household for her with God's grace. And if there's more we can do to support you directly, please reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. 877-573-7825. We're talking about finding faith today on More to Life. And if you are struggling in your faith, either because faith is causing conflict in your relationships, or because you're having a hard time seeing where God is in the difficult times you're going through, or any other issue, let us help you find faith and persevere in the power of faith at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from James chapter 1, verse 2.
Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
You know, life is difficult, and we all go through many, many trials. Remaining steadfast, though, doesn't mean just white-knuckling our way through it. It means consecrating those things to God and saying and inviting God into those things, like we were talking about earlier, and saying, Lord, teach me how to respond to this in a way that will glorify you, that will help me be my best self, and challenge the people around me to be their best selves as well. When you prayerfully reflect on that, when you're steadfast in your faith by saying that prayer, that's when you start experiencing God moving in your life and relationships and seeing how he's showing up for you, even in the middle of those trials. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. When More to Life comes back, let's talk about your faith struggles and how you can find your ways forward in grace.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about faith struggles today on More to Life. If you're having conflict in your relationships because of a faith struggle, or you're just internally wrestling with your faith because of a difficult time you're going through, or the hard time you're having hearing God's voice or feeling His presence, let's talk it out and find graceful ways forward. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Candace, who's listening to EWTN Radio in South Carolina.
Hey, Candace, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi. I just was sitting in line at the pharmacy waiting to pick up some prescriptions, and your conversation or the topic for today is exactly what's just been replaying in my mind for the past couple of days. Specifically, I'm a single mom of four. Mm-hmm. My oldest is 19, so she's not in home. She's in school at college, but locally, so still kind of back and forth. And then three others at home that are 14, 12, and 11.
Okay.
So I find myself saying that my kids are all at tough ages. And then I think back and I'm like, I've said that at every single age.
Bless your heart, yes. Yeah.
And we can't get out of this. I just feel like I'm just spinning wheels. I've been divorced for 5 years from their dad. We were married for 10. And he was in law enforcement and has failed to pay child support for years. We've been for 5 years gone back and forth to court about a dozen times, and to this day owes me thousands and thousands of dollars, attorney's fees, thousands of dollars. And so we've got a great community, great church family. Like, I've got all the support and all the resources to help me to raise the kids and to provide for them, but
praise
I'm still so frustrated that the person that I feel like should be providing for the kids is not. And in my mind, I feel like God's like letting him get away with it. I'm just struggling, just raising the kids. Just, I feel like I've been left holding the bags, and the bags being the children. And
no, I understand.
Sometimes I'm more grateful than I have a better attitude than others. And sometimes I just flat out don't have the faith, and I'm embarrassed to myself to even say that out loud.
Oh, you shouldn't be at all.
No, don't be embarrassed.
You're living in the state of a very unjust situation. So of course you're going to be, you know, having the whole myriad of feelings. Now, Candace, has he walked out of the kid's life entirely? Does he see them? Does he participate and just not pay, or is he just gone?
He's entirely walked out. Lives across town with a new family and a new wife and.
Just devastating.
Children there.
So just devastating left, for you and all the children.
Yeah, my youngest, we've got three daughters and a son, the only son. And so I've gone through the preteen stage with daughters. I've not gone through this with the son. And so we're just hitting all kind of new milestones. And so I know in two-parent households, it's difficult to raise teens and tweens. And so just that on top of the financial injustices, I'm really struggling with it.
Of course. Well, let me, we only got about 5 minutes before they kick us out of here. So let me just jump in and say, I mean, first of all, again, what you're dealing with is a true injustice. And I want to say right up front, God's not letting him get away with it. God is calling him to be faithful to his obligations to you and to his children. Just like God calls all of us to be saints, and we all struggle in our own ways to respond to that call. Your husband is going to be held accountable for all of his dereliction of duty, if not in this life, then definitely in the next. And you can count on that, because God has promised us that. You know, when we can confuse God's justice with human justice, and you know, they don't call it the justice system; they call it the legal system, because it doesn't always produce justice. But God's justice is sure. And if your husband, or your ex-husband, your children's father, doesn't fulfill his promises to you and to his children, he will be held accountable for that in the next life, guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Where we want to look for God's faithfulness is in what you were saying to us already about how he is being a father to your children and to you in the way he's provided and is providing for you with your community, with all the ways that you're able to meet their needs, with the ways that you have that support. I mean, I was so heartened when you told me about your faith community and the support that you've got, and just how people are showing up for you. That's your Heavenly Father being a father to you and to your children, saying, even if your ex will not be the father that I asked him to be, I will be that father to you. And I need you to turn to me and know that I am your father, and I am your children's father, and I will care for you, and I will love you, and this is my justice, because I will make up for, in every way that I, you know, that I is possible, for his dereliction of duty.
Yeah.
And I realize that's easy for me to say, but I think you know on a certain level that everything that I'm saying is absolutely true. And I want you to really take time every day to praise God for being that faithful father to you and your children.
And I would do it with your kids when you can, to just be able to say, hey, let's just take a minute before we all go to sleep, or, you know, after dinner, or whatever it is when you can be with your kids, to just kind of take an accounting of where God showed up as a loving father in that day, letting them know very outwardly that, you know, people aren't perfect. And sometimes they're far from perfect, but God is there for us. And so they can begin to develop that relationship with their Heavenly Father after being so wounded by their earthly one.
And you can say, you know, Lord, we all hurt so much because, you know, my ex, you know, their father isn't here, but we thank you for being our father and for taking care of this particular need and showing up for us in this particular way. Point out to them and remind yourself of how your Heavenly Father is being there for you. Don't stop fighting the good fight to make your ex accountable for his behavior. That's part of it too. But don't fall prey to the lie that God is not present in this situation, because it's not working out the way we would all like it to. He is being your father in the absence of this man. Now, I want to also offer you a resource, because it's tough to go it alone. It sounds like you've got a great community of support, like you said, and it's, you know, and that's wonderful. But we'd like to support you more. We've created an app called Catholic HOM. It stands for Households on Mission. It's absolutely free to download. And every day on Catholic Home, we have a faithful community of Catholic families. And, you know, Catholic Home is not for perfect families. It's for every family that wants to encounter God's love more perfectly. And so we've got, you know, we've got single parent families, we've got divorced families, we've got all kinds of grandparenting families, we've got, you know, all kinds of families. And they're all just faithfully looking for ways to experience God in their everyday lives. And if you go download the Catholic HOM app, I know that you're going to get a ton of support there, even from the free side of it. Just check it out. If you'd like to get daily support from our team of pastoral counselors, you can sign up for the premium membership. That's available as well. But you can download it for free and get a ton of support to continue to pursue ways to experience God more meaningfully in your everyday life and really follow through on what we're talking about here and get that encouragement and that people that, to bear you up through
this tough
time.
That truly includes when you're having a tough time getting those kids through those stages. You put a question out there about, what do I do in this situation? Help me. You've got a plethora of people who are going to come alongside of you and give you advice and support and prayer. So
I do hope the encouragement that we were able to give you today is helpful. But if you'd like that ongoing support, download the free Catholic HOM app. It stands for Households on Mission. It's available at Google Play or in your Apple Store. Or you can just go to CatholicHOM.com to learn more about it. Candace, thank you so much for the call. We've also added you to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, you know where to find us. And listeners, that goes for you as well. If you are struggling in your faith and not sure how to either find God, hear His voice, feel His presence, or resolve the conflicts that are coming up because of your attempts to live your faith, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about all the resources we can offer, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Pastoral Telecounseling Practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your life. Check it out, CatholicCounselors.com.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.